Take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 11. We're going to preach on a verse that you have heard over and over and over and over again. In verse number 12, and I'm going to take a couple verses here just to give you, I'm not going to tell you why Jesus cursed the fig tree, but I want to tell you the power and authority you have in your words. It's not about the fig tree, it's about your words. In verse 12, now the next, well, let's go back a little bit. We'll start with verse 12. Now the next day when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, and he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, to the fig tree, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." His disciples heard it. If you'll skip down with verse number 19, and when evening had come, he went out of the city, and on the morning as they passed, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembering said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, Mavis talked about offense, so I'm not going into the forgiveness verses. She talked about that last week. But there are many, many, many times we say things that hopefully we don't mean. Anybody ever do that? But I'm not talking about those words today. I'm talking about Proverbs 18:21 words that affect you because you said them. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And basically, that's the fruit we eat. If you want to see about how words affect things, and you may say something in anger and then you want to take them back, when it's blowing like crazy, take up paper and just rip it up and throw it up in the air. I know you might get arrested for pollution, but that's okay. It'll be worth the lesson. Civil disobedience from the pulp. And then when the wind blows them away, try to gather them back. That's what happens to the words you say. But I'm not talking about the words you'd speak to your husband or your wife or your children or your pastor. I'm talking about words you say about yourself today. I'm talking about the negativity, the fear, the worry, that we look at things and make comments. Kenneth Hagin told a story about a man that was in an accident and he was fine. Seemingly nothing was wrong. He got out of the car, walked around the car. The ambulance came to take his wife to the hospital and they could see that he was okay. And for some reason, he burst out, "I'm a dead man." In a few moments, he was dead. Now, I'm not saying every word that we speak that's negative is going to produce death, but it's starting to produce something within us. And there's a source from where that word came. Jesus said, it's very interesting as you look at this, the first things he said after the fig tree was cursed and dried up, he said, "Have faith in God." Someone said, and I read about it, that that verse is actually a better translation in that verse is, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. God doesn't get negative. God knows the facts. The word facts means the way things are. God doesn't deny the facts. He works through the facts. We come to a place, and I had it told me this week at the doctor's appointment, well, your kidneys are pretty good, but you got this little issue. Can you imagine how that little issue bugged my mind? This was good, and this was good, and this was good, and this was good, but this wasn't so good. What did I base the rest of my day on? What wasn't good? I remember one time pastoring a church, and we had a vote of confidence. You know those vote of confidences? We don't do that here because we know you have no confidence. No. We just don't have those things. And so we had a vote of confidence. It was 83-3. Guess what I went home thinking about? The three. It's kind of that way, isn't it? We kind of prone ourselves. And so we need to focus on what Jesus said. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. I want to warn you about something. Be careful who you tell go jump in the lake. You'll get that. If you can speak to a mountain that's going to be removed and be cast into the sea, be careful who you just say, oh, why don't you go jump in the lake? You may find them there. Our words. When we speak, there's a connection between our heart and our mouth. What are you talking about? Jesus said, if you say to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart, if there's a disconnect, our mouth may be speaking something that our heart doesn't agree with. Or our heart may be thinking something and knowing something that our mouth don't agree with. Now, your words can be based on the facts, or they can be based, and the facts are natural. Say natural with me. Natural. Your words can be based on the natural, or they can be based on the supernatural. Your words can be based on what things are or what God can call them. Your words can come to a place where all we ever see are the facts. So we see the natural. But understand something, as believers, you're supernatural. Your life is based not on the natural. Your life is based on the supernatural. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you became a supernatural being because God dwells within you. Now, I'm not saying deny the facts. I'm not saying that. God called the things that were not as though they were. He didn't call the things that were as though they were not. Don't deny the facts, but come to a place where the supernatural overrides the facts. We come to a place where we're going to believe the truth and not just the facts. We come to a place where we start talking and everything may seem bad. Everything may be falling apart. It may seem like you not only have a mountain, you have a whole world in front of you. And it's so easy to allow the enemy to infiltrate our mind and say nothing's going to change. Everything's falling apart. this is bad, my kids are bad, they're just going this way and that way, and we come to a place with our finances where we cannot believe that God can intervene because he hasn't. And so we become too factual. And God is saying that without faith, it's impossible to please me. Now, he that comes to the Lord, according to Hebrews 11:6, must believe that he exists. How many believe God exists? And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Acknowledging the existence of God is great. But what is he existing for? Hello? Why would he exist if he didn't love us and he didn't want to bless us and he didn't want to work in our lives and he didn't want to save us and he didn't want his hand on our kids and he didn't want his hand on our finances and he didn't want his hands on our health? Why would he be there? Don't become agnostic. God exists, but you just don't care about anybody. Hello? Here's the key, and as I was working this morning, it just hit me. Christians, you may be a giver. How many of you love to give? Okay, I'm standing here. Bring it up. How many of you just loved? Come on, Carol. You got the biggest chuckle out of that. How many of you know that we're told to give? But you know what's hard for you? We need to learn how to receive. Do you ever think about that? We need to learn how to receive. Because God wants to bless you. God didn't look at you and designate you for poverty. He didn't designate you just to barely scratch. He didn't designate you to barely make it. You're his kids. How many of you want your kids to be better off than you are? Don't you think God does? Kind of hard to be a little better off than him. But I believe God is speaking to this body and saying, learn how to receive. When you pray, why ask him for something if you don't believe he's going to do it? Well, I got to. That's just part of the Christian gymnastics. I got to ask God. No. You ask God because you know that he wants to bless you, but yet in your heart you come to a place, I can't receive it. The Bible says he can do supernaturally above and beyond all I can ask or think. I've learned something, and I want to pass it on to you. If God wants to bless me, why don't I let him? Can we understand that? You know what part of our problem is? And if you listen to your conversation, you may pick it up. Part of our problem is we don't believe we're as worthy to receive as some other people. We don't believe that God really wants to bless us. He wants to bless the other ones. And then we read about the five talents and the one that had five talents and the one that had three, and we look at ourselves as only having one, and so we buried our talent. So God is saying, you wicked and slothful servant, you didn't do anything with what I gave you. Now get out of here. He's not that way. He's not talking about your life. He was talking about the money. There comes a time that every single one of us, and I know I'm off my notes, but I'm going, every single one of us need to come to a place where we recognize there's no difference among children in the family of God. There used to be that old song, what he done for others, he won't do for you. He'll do for us. But what God wants to do is change our hearts and the words that we say. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the what? Now, you may have a lot of faith, but here's where I'm going. You may have a lot of faith for some things. And you look at your life, I have no faith for this. I can believe God wants to do this, this, and this, but I don't think he'll touch that area. Why not? He made you spirit, soul, and body. He wants to touch all of you. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. In all aspects, I believe. Let's just take it all aspects. As he is spiritually, so are we. Do you think Jesus ever has to go to the Father and say, do we have anything in the fridge? Father, you got a snack? Yeah, I got angel food cake. That's what we eat from now on, Becky, angel food. And so we come to a place where we just start working and working, and the mountain gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Did Jesus say what size mountain? And keep in mind, if you look at the beginning of the chapter, he was looking at the Mount of Olives. It was a mountain he was talking about. What mountain do we face? What mountain are we fighting against? Or are we the mountain we're fighting against because we're not believing? I'm not picking on you. I want the best for you. I want the absolute best that you can be and have and do. And I know there are people who are suffering different things in this congregation. And I know in our community. I was telling Kirk about it, and Kirk looked at me in astonishment. I went to the doctor on Tuesday. I'm sitting there, a man that I've known for a long time has been, well, I've known everybody for a long time. But there was a man I've known for a long time was sitting there. And he's talking to me, and I said, Gene, what's wrong? And he said, well, they found I only have one kidney. And I said, from birth? Yeah, they just found I got one kidney, and that's bad. And so I said, Gene, would you mind if I prayed for you? And so we're in the clinic, and I'm praying for Gene. And pretty soon this guy comes out from Effington, used to be a banker, maybe still is a banker. And I'm sitting to him talking, and I said, what's happening with you? And he said, well, I only got one kidney. And Kirk said, what? I never met two people at the same time with only one kidney. And so we talk for a while, so I say, well, I got this kidney anointing right now. You mind if I pray for you? No. So we're praying with the guy from Effington. Why? Because God wants to demonstrate his love to you and to people. There are days, people ask me, do you ever have a day you feel down? I said, no, but I have days I don't feel like a human. But we look at facts, we look at circumstances, we look at situations, and it almost tears us up. But sometimes we just have to close our eyes and look at God. We just have to look at God. I'm going to tell you something. There are things that worry won't change. There are things that negative talk won't change. There are things you look at, and no matter what you do, you can't change it. But I know somebody that can. His name is Jesus Christ, and he changed you. And the same way that he changed your life, he'll change your circumstances and your situation. So let's connect. Let's connect our heart and our mouth. And whatever you speak, just speak truth. I got a call at 9:15 on Wednesday morning. And on the phone was a lady who said, "Pastor, can you come and do a funeral?" And I said, "When?" "At 11 o'clock. I got your attention now, don't I? And I said, "What's going on?" "Well, little baby died, was born dead." So 11 o'clock, I'm at Cahill's ready to do a funeral. Wasn't big, there were five people there, but I preached Jesus to them. Why? Because whether or not these people are saved or not, God loves them. I just told him, the father lost his son one time too. I believe in an age of accountability. I believe little Dallas is with the Lord. 5.5 months carried in the womb. But our lives, we focus too much. And I do. Was I concerned about my kidney? Yeah, I was. No, I got two. They only had one. I was. I don't like a lot of protein in my kidneys. It's not necessarily healthy. But we focus too much on the natural instead of the supernatural. We focus too much on the temporal instead of the eternal. And there comes a time when we see that mountain and we face that mountain, talk to that mountain. Put Jesus in front of your mountain. Because as long as we're in this world, there's going to be tribulation, Jesus said. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome it. Don't discount the facts or don't deny the facts, or, but don't make them the God of the situation. Don't make them be in charge. Don't look at them and say, this is not working and that's not working and this isn't working and everything's going to fall apart. No, it's not. I got more, but I'll preach it another time. Let me ask you a question. How many of you can remember 5 years ago? How many can remember 3 years ago? Angie, how long have you been coming to church? 7 years. I won't go into it, but I remember what you were thinking about 7 years ago. Didn't have anything to do with money, did it? How many of you had problems 7 years ago? How many remember what they were? He's still here preaching, isn't he? Can you imagine that 7 years ago or 5 years ago, you would have thought, I'm not going to make it through this? This is just too big. This is just too heavy. How come you're here? You weren't going to make it through. But you did, didn't you? And some of you and most of you, maybe all of you, are better off today than you were then. Amen? Amen. Why? Because you just gave up, threw in the towel, and kept complaining. No, because you put one foot ahead of the other. And as you're walking, you said, God, you're my source. Doesn't matter what, you're my source. Whatever I face, if God be with me, who can be against me? And I'm just going to focus on you, Jesus. You know, we reach that time again. We reach that time again. When Jesus, all I'm going to focus on is you. I'm done, but I like the attitude of the three Hebrew children. I like to tell that story while I'm falling. I didn't. One foot in front of the other, and I tripped on the one I put in front. What kind of omen is that? I like the three Hebrew children coming before Nebuchadnezzar and looking at him in the eye and saying, "Sir, my God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But sir, I want you to know something. Even if he doesn't, I'm not going to bow my knee before that idol of yours. There's times you point your finger at the devil because God is not the one stirring up a whole bunch of worry and fear in your life, and you point your finger at the devil and say, "Devil, try to do whatever you want. My God is bigger. My God is greater. And no matter what you throw at me, I'm standing for Jesus. I'm going through the fire. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how it end up. Even if I die, I'm with the Lord. I can't lose." Do you ever stop and think, friends? You can't lose. You just can't lose no matter what happens. And we pray for healing, we believe for healing, we pray for prosperity, we pray loved ones are saved, we pray all this stuff. But right now, you're not any more of a winner than you are going to be when you get to heaven. Because the same Jesus who is in heaven made you a winner now. Can you believe that? No matter what you're facing, you're a winner. You win. Satan loses. This whole world loses. You know something? If the Vikings can win 4 games, so can you. What's the records, Conrad? And don't ask me how many Super Bowls. That's not the issue. The Super Bowls aren't, that's what my wife said. But how many Super Bowls the Vikings win? You know something? Lighten up. You're not going to survive this world anyway. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it in the name of Jesus Christ. You're a foreigner here. Your home is being prepared and is prepared. And we're going there. We're heading there. We win. And so, my friends, when you pray, just say, "God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm going to trust you till the end. Because he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." He's a lot more than that, but he is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you know people going through problems and issues, tell them about him. Because their only hope is Jesus Christ. And as you live your life and walk it before him in the grace and the peace and the calm and the joy of the Lord, they can see that. Because the issues are not our God. We don't bow our knee to the issues or the facts. We bow our knee to the King of Kings. Amen? Stand with me, will you? Man, I left a lot of good stuff. Sit down. No. There's a lot of good stuff there. Man, I worked hard on that this morning. Raise your hands with me. Father, we bless this people in your name. And the facts and the situations that's coming against them must be cast out. The chains are broke. We heard that this morning. Freedom is yours, Jesus. Peace of mind. The heart and the mouth will be aligned. No disconnect. In the name of Jesus, no matter how big that mountain is, that mountain must be removed and cast into the sea in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for blessing them and touching them and loving them and anointing them and using them. These are your children. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.